book of Revelations for yourself.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, February 21st, 2018, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast, coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of StarWorldwideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is Preparing for War Like It's 2016. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne this day. Lord God, we bow down spiritually speaking. We ask that the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit have your way here today. We command in the name of Jesus Christ that every foul spirit, every hindering spirit, every spirit of lust, control, and pride, and wickedness, and demonic activity be bound this very hour. We command that it be done in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus against you, Satan. You have no power and authority over that which the Lord has prepared for such a time as this, and we plead the blood of Jesus against you. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would take us through this day, remembering that you were the one who went to the cross for us. No matter what kind of day we are having, we never have a day on the cross. You've already paid the price for that. And we thank you, and I thank you personally for taking my place upon the cross of Calvary, that by your shed precious and holy blood, I will have eternal life. If I will stay upon the straight and narrow path, not looking to the left or right, but doing that which you've called me to do, listening for the small, still voice of the Holy Spirit and walking in that which you have prepared and ordained for this hour. Lord God, we thank you for sending your one and only begotten Son. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day, and in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, folks, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. As we open the show today, I will begin by laying out something for you that is totally astonishing, that is taking place behind the scenes, and at the same time explains the reason for our title today, of which there again is Preparing for War Like It's 2016. Last week, my friends, in our show, I spoke to you about the possibility of a war breaking out between Israel and her enemies on the soon coming Feast of Purim here in 2018, which begins at sundown in 7 days from now, my friends, on the 28th day of February 2018. Last week, I shared with you how the first Gulf War with Iraq ended on Purim, February 28th, 1991, and then how the second Gulf War began again on Purim, March 19th, 2003, just as the Lord God had told me that it would back in 2001, picking up right where it had left off. So the given is that it's not a matter of if, but only of when the next war will break out between Israel and her enemies. And at this point, we know that Iran is the puppet master, along with Russia, behind the scenes concerning the next battle. The only question that remains is, will it actually begin again on the Feast of Purim? Well, in the furtherance of investigating just that, I have some very telling evidence to share that will there again give reason as to just why the title for today's show is Preparing for War Like It's 2016, and why it was chosen by the Lord God for today's show. So, without further ado, let us begin. But first, I would like to add that to really grasp just what is going on, you must take note of the dates that everything that is being presented here today is taking place on. The first thing that we will be looking at is a rundown on just how a historic and most interesting alliance was formed at the end of the year 2015 that has been preparing in the background but is now just about to be made visible to the entire world. The alliance is, for our investigation, the foundation, and will be the same for what will one day soon turn in to the War of Gog and Magog, or the War of Ezekiel 38 and 39, as it is as well called. To begin with, Wikipedia, in their description, states that this alliance is called the Islamic Military Counterterrorism Coalition, or the IMCTC, and also is referred to as the Islamic Military Alliance, and is what I will be using concerning today's subject matter. Wikipedia states that it is an intergovernmental counter-terrorist alliance of countries in the Muslim world united around military intervention against ISIS and other counter-terrorist activities. Its creation was first announced by the then Saudi Arabia Defense Minister Mohammed bin Salman Al Saud on the 15th day of December in 2015, who, mind you, is being at this very moment groomed to take over the throne from his father soon and very soon. He is the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. As Wikipedia continues their description, it is said that the alliance was to have a joint operations center in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and that the coalition, when it was announced, there were 34 members. Additional countries joined the number of members, reaching 41 when Oman joined in December of 2016. They go on to say, on January 6, 2017, the Pakistani former chief of Army Staff General, retired, Rael Sharif, was named the IMCTC's first commander-in-chief, working with countries such as Jordan, Egypt, Turkey, Sudan, Libya, and Lebanon, who are just some of the 41 members of the Islamic Military Alliance. China, Germany, and the U.S. are among the major countries working in cooperation with the said alliance. Next, my friends, we have a short account of the first meeting of this now 3-year-old Islamic Military Alliance, or coalition, if you will, that has been summarized by an author named Chase Winter, dated November 26, 2017, written for D.W. Made for Minds and is titled Saudi-led Islamic Military Alliance, Counter-Terrorism or Counter-Iran, of which Mr. Winter begins by sharing a Saudi-formed Islamic Counter-Terrorism Alliance raises questions over whether it will work, what it will do, and its ultimate goal. It appears to be aimed at Iran as much as at extremists. The writer goes on to say, Saudi Arabia's powerful crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, on Sunday convened the first summit of the Islamic Military Counterterrorism Alliance with top defense officials from some 40 Muslim countries attending. Saudi Arabia announced the alliance in December of 2015 to fight terrorism, singling out the Islamic State ISIS as a disease tarnishing the name of Islam. In opening remarks in Riyadh on Sunday, Prince Mohammed said that the alliance would work together to support the military, financial, and intelligence and political efforts of every member state to battle terrorism and extreme ideology. The biggest danger of this terrorism and extremists is the tarnishing of the reputation of our beloved religion. We will not allow this to happen, he said. The alliance initially had 34 members, but now includes 41 countries, according to the Saudi government. It has taken no action so far. Did you hear what I said, my friends? Since its inception, it has taken no action so far. From the beginning, it was unclear what the alliance would do or whether it would be able to wield any real power. Now that ISIS has been largely defeated in Syria and Iraq, those questions remain, as do the question of the alliance's goals. The Saudis insist, listen, my friends, it's a work in progress. Saudi Arabia leading the fight against extremists? The United States has long urged Saudi Arabia and other Muslim countries to take a more proactive role concerning terrorism and extreme ideology. For the young crown prince who has consolidated control over the country and the alliance is a way to show himself as an Arab world leader at a time when the United States leadership in the region is in question. In another part of the article, Mr. Winter points out that the 32-year-old crown prince has sought to create an image of himself as a modernizer to lead a transformation in the kingdom. My friends, the just shared piece gives an outline concerning the first meeting of the to date dormant but soon to rise up upon the scene so-called Islamic Military Alliance. Did you notice that Sudan, Turkey, and Libya are a part of this coalition? They are among those who the Lord God names in Ezekiel's war, found on the pages of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. With that said, my friends, I will be right back after the break to continue to bring clear the mysterious reason for the title of today's show, of which there again is Preparing for War Like It's 2016.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the army that carries out his word. They rush on the city, they run on the wall. Great is the army that carries out his word. The Lord utters his voice before his army. The Lord utters his voice before his army. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. army that carries out his word. They rush on the city, they run on the wall. Great is the army that carries out his word. The Lord utters his voice.
Listen.
My friends, soon it will be time to sound the alarm of war in Zion. And with that said, this is where it gets very interesting and is where you really need to keep a close eye on the dates that things are said to be taking place on. Keeping in mind that the Lord God is never late, He has a perfect plan and is always on time. With that thought in mind, let us now take a look at a piece by Mr. James Bailey, author and editor of Z3 News. This piece is dated February 13th and titled, News Media Blackout as World War III Approaches, of which Mr. Bailey begins by sharing, it appears the whole world has gone mad. The threat of World War III escalated dramatically this week, but our mainstream news media is barely even mentioning it, towing the line drawn by their New World Order masters. Moving ahead, Mr. Bailey states, I just visited the homepage for FoxNews.com and found not one single mention of the insane events now unfolding in the Middle East. I could not believe it, so I used my find tool to search for Syria and Saudi Arabia. Not one mention. Of course, he says, that could change at any moment, but nothing there when I checked. Their stories were all about the meaningless presidential election, which has already been decided, regardless of what anyone thinks about it, and other stories about entertainment, sports, and congressional political theater, etc. He says, so I went to CNN and I found just about the same thing with one news story about the Syrian ceasefire. But when I read it, there was no mention of any of the big events that have happened and developed this week. This is truly amazing media blackout. He continues by saying the American people will be stunned and confused when war breaks out, which might be part of the plan because it would make them easy prey for a misinformation blitzkrieg craftily prepared ahead of time by evil masters behind the scenes. When war breaks out, we should question everything reported in the mainstream news media because it will almost certainly be a lie. I say this because a series of dreams that God gave me in recent years reveal our news media is completely controlled by the same people who control our federal government. I would have never believed it myself a few years ago, but I learned it by revelation, so I now know that it is true. Both groups are controlled by New World Order psychopaths bent on our destruction. Mr. Bailey, moving forward, states, very few people believe this stuff, but God has revealed it to those who are listening. I hear you, Mr. Bailey. I hear you. The rest of the world thinks we are the ones who've gone mad, but it is not us. It is them. He says, just consider if any of this week's events are newsworthy. Wednesday, February 10th, Saudi Arabia and at least 20 Arab allies began moving 350,000 ground troops to the northern part of Saudi Arabia. From there, it is just a short pass through western Iraq to reach Syrian border. In addition, they are also moving 20,000 tanks, 2,450 warplanes, and 460 military helicopters. Does that sound newsworthy? He asks. Then goes on to share the Saudis are claiming the movements are for military exercises, which is a big stretch because it would be the region's largest military exercise ever. They are claiming these exercises will be completed by February 28, which means we might see military conflicts starting very soon. Next, says Mr. Bailey, another more believable explanation for the troop movement is the Saudi rebels fighting against the Syrian government are getting whipped badly now that Syria has the help of Russian forces. The rebels are very close to losing the war, which has been largely funded and equipped by Saudi Arabia and the United States. The Saudis are using Syria as a proxy war to fight their true enemy, Iran. So, if the rebels can't get their job done, the Saudis are preparing to do it for themselves, with the backing of the United States, of course. Mr. Bailey further states that Saudi Arabia's troop movements prompted Russia to repeat a warning released earlier in the week that any foreign troops entering Syria without permission from the Syrian government would be a declaration of war. He says, does that sound newsworthy? Moving on to the next thing he has to say, he says Thursday, February 11th, Saudi military leaders announced on television that they will not back down, saying the decision to send ground troops into Syria is final. Did they just say that the decision to invade Syria is final? Yes, they did. And unless they change course, World War III would be unavoidable. Later in this piece, a very alarmed Mr. Bailey goes on to say it gets worse because U.S. Secretary of Defense followed the Saudis' announcement with a strong show of support, asking our NATO alliances to join a coalition to send ground troops into Syria, ignoring Russia's threat to declare war. The United States just upped the ante by threatening the Russians with all of NATO. Then, says Mr. Bailey, Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev escalated Russia's threat to declare war by warning about a new world war. He said the demands of some Arab countries to send ground troops and forces into Syria risks starting a new world war. Mr. Bailey, in his reporting, then makes note of, as he puts it, the enormous size of the Saudi coalition is raising concerns that Russia's only way to stop them would be with tactical nuclear weapons, which would then make it virtually impossible to avoid a world war. Mr. Bailey continues by asking, isn't it amazing? These events are not getting any coverage from the mainstream news media. Nothing to see here, folks. Just keep on moving right along. This is pure mind control, he says. They are taking plays right from the Nazi playbook, Heil Hitler. Next, asks Mr. Bailey, what is really going on? He then presents an answer when he says, in the unseen realm, under the cover of darkness, four writers have been released from hell and are now writing in the earth. Their influence has launched the world into what Jesus called the time of birth pangs, which are leading up to the tribulation period. He then points his readers to Matthew chapter 24, verse 8. And my friends, for all intents and purposes, I would like to direct your attention to Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 through 8, of which states, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers or various places. And verse 8 goes on to say, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Of which Mr. Bailey then goes on to describe in detail when he begins by stating, the first rider riding a white horse secured one of his key objectives in 2008 when the Antichrist was given his first crown. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder on one of the four beasts, saying, Come and see. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. As Mr. Bailey continues, next he states, following closely behind him came the rider on the red horse, whose mission is to remove peace from the earth. The mission of these two riders, says Mr. Bailey, complement each other as the conquest of the first rider helped bring about the war sought by the second rider. He then goes on to say, war is coming. It is inevitable because it is written in this ancient prophecy, which was inspired by the Spirit of God, and states, my friends, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Revelation chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Skipping ahead in this piece, Mr. Bailey goes on to say, end-time Bible prophecies are being fulfilled in our news headlines today. We have entered the season of birth pangs, which coincides with the first four seals, which release the four riders, he says. We are now close to seeing the fulfillment of the second seal. Jesus warned us about these very things, and in part, I just want to share, he says, for a moment, what Jesus said. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence, and earthquakes in divers or various places. All these, Jesus said, are the beginning of sorrows. Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 8. The Lord wanted it to be reiterated. It's coming soon. Next, Mr. Bailey goes on to inform his readers that these riders are spirits of Antichrist, which God has allowed to be released because the world has rejected his leadership by refusing to repent from their evil ways. So, he says, God is handling the nation the same way he has instructed us to handle unrepentant sinners in our midst. And uses as an illustration, my friends, an instance as was stated by Paul when he said, It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily I say, Paul said, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Skipping ahead to the end of this piece, Mr. Bailey makes reference to a couple of really relevant pieces of prophecy that now appear to be coming to light. The first reference that I would like to share with you was given to a pastor, Benjamin Faircloth, of whom Mr. Bailey said recently shared a word he received about bloodshed coming in the month of red. He was not told what month that was, but he thought it could be February due to Valentine's Day. My friends, I find the title of this prophecy with the school shootings just passed on February 14th, 2018, to be a candidate for a prophecy being fulfilled right before our very eyes. In another prophetic mention by Mr. Bailey, he states that in a prophetic poem shared in December, Matt Smith saw a sudden event coming before the end of February, which he stated as follows. December through February, winter finds itself here. A sudden event will strike and many will be in fear. Know then my judgment has come upon this land. God reigns supreme and deals with a heavy hand. In conclusion, Mr. Bailey closes his piece with this. The recent development seemed to fit the prophetic warnings, although it is impossible to know if these are all related to the same events. Only God sees the future clearly. The rest of us only see in part, which can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. With that said, my friends, let us now examine a piece written by one of my favorites, who is Mr. Michael Snyder, author and editor of the economiccollapseblog.com, written on February 14th. The same date we were here on last week, broadcasting the Streams in the Desert live show, titled World War III Could Start This Month. 350,000 soldiers in Saudi Arabia stand ready to invade Syria. Of which Mr. Snyder thusly begins by stating, as seen in War Soldiers, Public Domain, 350,000 soldiers, 20,000 tanks, 2,450 warplanes, and 460 military helicopters are massing in the northern part of Saudi Arabia for a military exercise that is being called Northern Thunder. According to the official announcement, forces are being contributed by Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, Jordan, Bahrain, Sudan, Kuwait, Morocco, Pakistan, Tunisia, Oman, Qatar, Malaysia, and several other nations. This exercise will reportedly last for 18 days, and during that time, the airspace over northern Saudi Arabia will be closed to air traffic. This will be the largest military exercise in the history of the region, and it comes amid rumors that Saudi Arabia, listen up my friends, and Turkey are preparing for a massive ground invasion of Syria. Mr. Snyder states, if you were going to gather forces for an invasion, this is precisely how you would do it. Governments never come out and publicly admit that forces are moving into position for an invasion ahead of time. So military exercises are a common excuse that gets used for this sort of thing, he says. He goes on to share that if these exercises are actually being used as an excuse to mass forces near the northern Saudi border, then we should expect an invasion to begin within the next couple of weeks. If it happens, we should expect to see the Saudi coalition storm through the western part of Iraq and into Syria from the south. And it is likely that Turkey will come in from the north. Continuing on, Mr. Snyder states that the goal would be to take out the Assad regime before Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah could react. From the past couple of years, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and their allies have been funding the Sunni insurgency in Syria, and they were counting on those insurgents to be able to take down the Assad regime by themselves. He says, you see, the truth is that ISIS was never supposed to lose in Syria. Saudi Arabia and her allies have been funding massive amounts of money to ISIS and hundreds of millions of dollars of ISIS oil has been slipped into Turkey where it is sold to the rest of the world. Mr. Snyder says the major Sunni nations wanted ISIS and the other Sunni insurgent groups to take down Assad. In the aftermath, Saudi Arabia and her allies intended to transform Syria into a full-blown Sunni nation. My friends, based on what is actually going on this very moment, that may have not been such a bad idea at all. But, says Mr. Snyder, then Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah stepped forward to assist, and it's time to listen up, my friends, to assist Assad and his regime. Russia air support completely turned the tide of the war, and now the Sunni insurgents are on the brink of losing. Aleppo was once the largest city in Syria, and Sunni insurgents have controlled it since 2012. But now, relentless Russian airstrikes have made it impossible for Syrian, Iranian, and Hezbollah ground forces to surround the city. And it is about to fall back into the hands of the Syrian government. If this happens, he says, the war would essentially be over. Now, here, my friends, is where it gets very interesting and is a very important aspect as to just what is about to happen and why. Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and their allies have invested massive amounts of time, money, and effort into overthrowing Assad, and they aren't about to walk away now. But it gets even darker right here when it is said that if the war was to end right at this moment, a weakened Assad regime would remain in power. And Iran and Hezbollah would be the dominant power in the country for years to come. And once Assad died, it would be inevitable that Iran and Hezbollah would attempt to transform Syria into a full-blown Shiite nation. This is something that Saudi Arabia and Turkey want to avoid at all costs, not to mention Israel and America as well, my friends. Remember, the Saudi-backed Islamic military alliance has done nothing war-wise since its inception in December of 2015. Now we continue with what Mr. Snyder has to tell us concerning this long drawn out situation when he states, so they are actually considering what was absolutely unthinkable, a massive ground invasion of Syria. But, says Mr. Snyder, if Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and their allies go in, they run the risk of a full-blown war with Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah. Just consider some of the comments that we have seen in recent days. Reacting to a potential troop development, Syrian Foreign Minister said Saturday, quote, "Let no one think that they can attack Syria or violate its sovereignty, because I assure you, any aggressor will return to their country in a wooden coffin." Mr. Snyder states that a deputy of Russia's State Duma has warned Saudi Arabia that any military ground operation in Syria without Damascus consent would amount to a declaration of war, Press TV reported. Mr. Snyder further states, "We could literally be looking at the spark that sets off World War III. I can't believe, he says, that Saudi Arabia and Turkey are actually considering this." Later in his piece, he states, "If Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and their allies are going to conduct an invasion of Syria, the most likely time for this to happen will be by the end of this month. During these military exercises, if we can get to March 1st and no invasion has happened, perhaps we can breathe a little sigh of relief." He says, "But if it does happen and the Russians and the Iranians decide to shoot back, it really could be the start of World War III. And I say, my friends, the potential war of Gog and Magog, a.k.a. or also known as the War of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Mr. Snyder ends his piece by reminding all that if you have not been paying attention up until now, you need to start, because this could literally change everything. My friends, I'm going to skip ahead to our last piece for today because I want time. And that is, as he said, it could spark World War III. This may be true, my friends, because most of the world would be there due to the alliances and NATO and so on and so forth that would become involved. But the war that it will create will not be the Third World War. It will be called the War of Gog and Magog, which is one and the same as the War of Ezekiel 38 and 39. And now for the big reveal, in which is this, my friends. Throughout, listen closely, throughout the entirety of today's program, all the article material that has been shared would seem that it had been written here in February of 2018. But the hard, cold truth of the matter is that it was truly written in the month of February in the year of 2016. The timing and what we see going on in the Middle East this very month, day, moment, and hour, 2 years later, tells us that what the Saudi-led Islamic military alliance trained for in 2016 and has yet to be put forth into practice up until this point could very well be even at the door. In other words, in other breaking news, my friends, here's the reason why. This very day, February 21st, 2018, on the outskirts of Damascus, the citizens of the city of Gouch, Syria, are under heavy attack by their own government and have been for the last 48 hours. This is real time, my friends. And this is why what I just shared with you sounds exactly like this moment in time. Over the past 48 hours, it's been reported that over 3,000 airstrikes have been taking place. It has as well been further reported, even down to 9-year-old children, my friends, on their Facebook pages, that up to 20 airstrikes in the period of 1 minute are taking place. They are attacking and destroying the residents of the city, along with their hospitals, markets, and everything else they can destroy. I am warning that soon, and very soon, Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1, is about to take place, of which the Word of God puts in these terms. The burden, or the prophecy, in other words, my friends, of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. That's verse 1. It goes on to tell you, my friends, that when this thing happens in Damascus, whatever the Lord allows, this city that is an ancient and one of the oldest cities upon the face of this planet will never be inhabited again. My friends, something else took place today. Something happened here on February 21st, 2018, that is a turning point in the spiritual realm concerning the outpouring of the former and the latter rain of the Lord God's Holy Spirit here, just before the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture. And it has to do with the death of Billy Graham, who was known the world over, that took place this very morning and was prophesied years ago by Benny Hinn as being the end of through a prophetic word given by Mark Sharona many years ago, where Benny Hinn and Mark Sharona and a few others were on the same show, concerning the victorious church that will be under the power, anointing, and working of God's Holy Spirit at the time of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture, which is coming very soon, my friends. And I have that piece here today that my engineer Robin so wonderfully edited and made prepared for us. So Robin, please roll.
We are coming into perhaps the most significant day in church history. And there are a number of things that are going to begin to converge. When you talked about Luke and the signs, yeah, there's going to be a convergence of the signs, and with it, there is going to
You're talking about an acceleration.
An acceleration, and they're all going to overlap. And when that happens, there is a company of people that...
Are you hearing this?
When it happens, there's a company of people that have been hidden in God for a season, but they're coming out of hiding,
yeah,
and they're going to stand in the courts of Pharaoh, and they're going to challenge the spirits
like Elijah
yeah, did, like Moses did.
Yeah.
They are going to challenge the powers of Egypt.
Amen.
And the earth is going to see a 21st century manifestation of the demonstration of the Spirit, not from one or two, but from a many-membered body. God is going
Amen.
To have
Amen.
The church
Amen.
Of his dreams.
Amen.
All the institutionalizing we've done to the church, all the things we've done to try to make it our thing instead of God's thing. God has had the church under wraps for 2,000 years. Maybe that's why there's 2,000 cubits between where this generation is and the ark, because God wants a church that's been hiding and prepared for power by severe test, severe trial, severe tribulation, every single season, and they feel like they're not going to be used, and it's too late, and it's all over. And that's the company that's prepared for power. They've been like John the Baptist in the wilderness, eating locusts and and wild honey, strange food. They've had to learn how to glean from the word when they were just getting little pious platitudes from preachers all around the country. And they're being weaned away from everything that is contradictory to the powerful truth of the word of God. And that company is coming out of hiding. They're going to cross Jordan, and they're going to move into a manifestation of power where there won't just be power on one or two. There's going to be power on multiplied thousands and thousands.
And may I add, the sign will be Billy Graham's death.
Wow.
No, I'm being raw here.
Wow.
You are talking about a people in hiding, just like Elijah was in hiding in Cherith.
Right. Right.
But when he came out, he challenged the prophets.
Exactly. Went right into the courts.
Right there.
And the Lord, it's the same spirits.
Oh, exactly.
Those are the same principalities.
And the Lord said to me in 89. Sorry, yeah, 89. He said, when Oral Roberts and Billy Graham go home, will be the key.
Wow.
It'll be the sign of the beginning of the greatest revival on earth.
Wow.
Oral is home.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Billy is about to go home.
Yeah.
And when he does, I'm telling the whole church, get ready.
My friends, soon we're going to have a revival. But you know, in the years gone past, a revival was a happy thing. It was a time of renewing ourselves in the Lord. But this revival that's coming, it will be the last one. It will not happen during happy times. It will happen under the most maniacal conditions ever seen upon the face of this planet. The Lord God is merciful. He's going to put in the sickle one more time to reap a harvest. And he hopes that all will choose him by repenting of their sins and receiving his one and only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ, as their only Savior, which means way of escape from the tyrannical rule and reign and mark of the beast of the Antichrist that is soon to come, and the simultaneous outpouring of God's wrath without measure upon the face of this earth and all who live ungodly and godless. My friends, many may think it's a fairy tale, but it is not. So if the Lord is pricking your heart today by the power and anointing of his Holy Spirit and saying, it's time to get ready, my friends, fall upon your faces, literally, with a broken and contrite heart and spirit, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from that which is yet to come. Because, my friends, those that are left behind will be destined for the lake of fire for all eternity. And there is no reprieve from that once you're headed in that direction. My friends, ask the Lord Jesus Christ today to forgive you of your sins. Be ready, watching, and waiting, because we're on borrowed time right now, and the Lord Jesus Christ could come at any moment. And with that said, my friends, it's a wrap. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Shalom and blessings until we meet again.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world. Take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelation.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?